Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast, today is April 1st.
Yep.
Ain't no April Fool. This is...
Ain't no April Fool. Ain't not, man.
Yeah. April. Anybody play a joke today trying to get murdered.
It's the first of the month. Rent is due. Yeah. And you ain't got to worry about a dog catching your ass.
Right. Rent is still due.
Maybe. Yeah, that's
the bullshit.
The stock market's in the toilet again, not surprisingly, because of you know, everything, plus today being the first, and so many companies not getting the money that they usually get at the top of the month.
Right.
It's just fucking disaster, man. Like,
yeah, it's all bad.
I mean, what's so one of the many things that's so depressing is like, it's just, it doesn't feel like there's no end in sight.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's just gonna keep going and going and going.
It is depressing, and there's gonna be a lot of PTSD coming out of this. Like, there are studies that show that China coming out of SARS, which is already, like, we've already surpassed SARS by, like, multitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much lasting trauma there was. Modern humans, even if you're with your family, are not used to this level of containment and isolation, yeah, right?
Exactly.
It goes against our nature. So I say that to say, like, for me, I've been cool so far, but we haven't even been in this a month yet. A month from now, I may feel completely differently. And I mean, it's true, but I also, my ecosystem is mostly in my house anyway, because I've worked from home for the past 4 years. Even when I worked for John, I worked from home.
Mm-hmm.
So, or worked with John, I worked from home. So I'm very used to like this being kind of like my hub, but you know, as the weather warms up, it's my birthday season, you know what I mean? Like, people are gonna obviously start to get restless, and that's okay. Like, feeling restless, feeling frustrated, feeling, you know, cloistered, like, all of that stuff is normal. And the rise and grind people, we might have spoken about this last week, the rise and grind people, shut your ass up.
Shut the fuck up. Take advantage of this time to start a business. What the fuck are you talking about?
Nobody
has money to spend on frivolous bullshit.
Motherfuckers got kids running around. Niggas, like, people are trying to adjust to, like, a new normal. There's definitely going to be, like, psychological stuff at play because, again, this is not normal. None of us have ever been through this before, right? So I saw this girl on Twitter talking about take your $1,200 stimulus and start your business. First of all,
what business you start with $1,200?
Well, but first of all, it's not a stimulus. It's aid that's meant to supplant money that you've lost. So that's not found money. It's not extra money. Mm-hmm. It's not... A stimulus is bonus money. A stimulus is money for you to go out and spend the general.
To stimulate the income.
Yeah, this is y'all about to be broke. We're gonna try to give you it's an infusion, right? Like it's like let us try to give you a little something. It's not extra money. That shit gonna be spent before we get it. You know.
And also, I saw today. Exactly.
Right,
and I also saw today that you have to have done your. Apparently they said it now, so you have to have done your taxes.
Well,
your taxes.
2018 or 19.
Oh, it was 18 or 19. Okay.
Yeah, so if you haven't done, which actually works to my benefit, because 19 would actually disqualify me because I made too much money, but 18 or 19. So if you haven't filed 19 yet, they go by your 2018 taxes. If you filed 19, my understanding is that they go by your 19 taxes.
Okay.
But also there is going to be, this will take a little longer, but they're going to put up some kind of simple form on the site that you can. So that they have your, and you get through, because the shit keeps you know, accruing.
Yeah, because of interest. I tell people that too, sidebar, like if you get jammed up with your taxes and you have to do a payment plan, you're never paying it off, really. Like, it's going to take forever. So don't stress
unless
it.
Unless you hit lottery.
Yeah, exactly. Don't stress
it. You're never paying it off. I've never,
daily. It's daily interest rate. So, like, it's never, unless you get, like, a huge chunk of cash. It's just
they're the fucking mob. Their interest rates are crazy. Insane. Like, I've paid them so much more than what I initially owed them at this point. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm at the point right now where I just be like, fuck it, I don't even.
Yeah, whatever.
I just file them shits. Like, okay. Yeah. And I keep getting on payment plans if I owe them more money. Like, just add that shit to my
tax. Exactly. Just keep adding. Keep rolling.
So I say that to say I don't have direct deposit and 401(k) for them, which means I'll get a check, which means I won't see it till like May. So, but allegedly, if you have your info on file, allegedly, you could see your check as early as third week of April, mid-April, in terms of a direct deposit.
I'll be shocked, but I will
be shocked as well.
I hope so, but.
The IRS has more info coming, and also, just as an FYI, I thought, because I've been looking for it, I finally found it. Actually, I'll post it to our site, actually, to the Pop Life site. I finally found the New York Times did one comprehensive document about what stimulus package means and for whom. Mm-hmm. And self-employed people are supposed to be eligible to file for unemployment, which is new, which has never been the case before because we can't prove income and loss of income the same way other people can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, like, on top of unemployment, like, there's supposed to be, like, an extra $600 a week federal something that we can apply for. So I'm not really sure about all that, but I'll post the article to our site just so you guys.
Yeah, but just like it's so many, the deaths, the unemployment rate, the people not adhering to the social distancing or staying inside. I think we talked about last week, and I posted a couple of things on my Instagram this week, showing people just like when the USS Comfort came in 2 days ago, people were down there like it was, you know, like it was a sightseeing thing.
The problem is all those people were probably already on the Hudson Greenway path.
Well, I'm saying, why are y'all even down there? Like, what are y'all doing?
Folks are taking advantage of this whole.
Yeah, they make it like it's a fucking vacation. It's time to go out and hang out.
Running paths are jammed. Hiking trails are jammed. It's like, they said we can go out and get exercise, but you're still supposed to practice distancing. So what's going to happen in a minute, and what is already happening in some places, is that the DMV just put this into place 2 days ago. If you just outside loitering, basically, like you can still go outside and get exercise, but if you just outside chilling, you're actually going to get fined a couple $1,000s.
Yeah. Because last Friday, I think it was, I rode up 8th Avenue in the evening because it was warm that day. So people outside, like, it was a regular day. It was like, it was insane. Right. I was like, people was double parked, playing music, kicking it. I'm like, I noticed in a lot of, you know, kind of hoods or whatever. And I mean, I don't even just focus on the hoods because it's in white neighborhoods too. But like, you know, Harlem, like, is still moving pretty regularly. Yeah. Like, they still moving, like, kind of, it's not as many people for sure. There's a lot of people in. But, you know, the fish spot still open. Niggas is outside. I'm like,
but I think we have to remember, too, that a part of that cabin fever is just literal square footage, right? Like, you know, one of the things, we have been blessed enough that we don't necessarily have those concerns, but there are people,
right,
you know, 10 deep. In apartments,
and that's why they be outside in the park all the time anyway.
Exactly, they don't really have a place, like a physical place to stay.
Yeah, niggas outside fronting, but niggas, a lot of niggas just like sleeping on the floor or sleeping on the futon,
blow up mattresses that they got to roll up because they in the living room.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying? And and now Big Mama, who's only like 43, she cooked breakfast because the kids is home. You know,
all breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In
the classroom right now. You got
exactly.
You know, they got to straighten up. And so I say all that to say, even and we all know this from the Twitter jokes. Even people who live in very nice accommodations, they're small. They're not very spacious. And you know, 1,200 square feet in a 2-bedroom sounds great. when you can go out.
Yeah.
Move around. It's not exactly. So fucking great when there's four people in there and your kids is on your ass.
Exactly. Right. All day, every day.
I live by myself. If there were anybody, if there was maybe like a pet, maybe a small pet in here, I'd be okay right now. If there was another living being in my house, and I have, like, for one person, I have a good size house. If their apartment is fine for me, and my bedroom is huge, but if there was another living person in this house, I'd be ready to throw somebody out the window.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
So, and that's why I say I really do count my blessings. I count my blessings, you know, prior to this. Mm-hmm. But another thing, having the kind of space where, you know, my son is working from home, he can function downstairs in the basement. Yeah. I can be on the main level. My wife can be upstairs. You know, my daughter can do her homeschooling in her room. She has all of the setups and things of that nature. And I say all that because it's like we're not really on top of one another. You know, I have a gym at home.
I can move
around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing that's scaring me about this is like knowing, you know, what we just talked about and knowing, you know, us the way we know us, I'm just scared of a spike in cases in the Black community. Well, again, just in the communities in general, but I'm just focused on the Black community now because we don't know how to stay inside. So when this weather breaks and it gets to be 80, 85 every day in May, and you're still supposed to be doing, you know, quarantining, cats is going to be on the street, man. They're going to be on the street.
That's what I'm saying. In a minute, we're going to have the police here. We're going to have the National Guard here. And they're going to be fussing about their rights and all this.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I think, you know, I say this often. I've said it here. I say it on Twitter all the time. And I'm not going to say it's Americans because I was watching Italy go through the same shit. First world country people are fucking spoiled.
Absolutely.
We've been told that our freedom, and I'm using air quotes, means that we get to do whatever the fuck we
want
to do.
Whenever we want.
Whenever.
Especially if you have a couple of nickels in your pocket.
Yeah, like life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. I'm going to do me. Y'all can't stop me. Free country. But there is a social contract for community that has totally disappeared in the last 30 years. Like people have totally forgotten what that is. And the social contract says that you have to act in a way that serves or at least doesn't do harm to the whole, right? Like, if not betters the whole, doesn't do harm to the whole. And that's what people are completely unable to wrap their minds around right now. Like, I still see people talking about, well, if I get sick, I don't care. And it's not about you. Like, it's literally not
about the 100 people you might come in contact with without even realizing it.
And what somebody said on Instagram, I saw a meme on Instagram, which was really funny, which was like, this is like the worst group project ever, where you have like two people who aren't doing the work, and you're like, bro, we getting graded as a group. Like, work? Like, we all doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we're going to, I'm sure we'll end up coming back to more corona related subjects as the show goes on. But
well, I do want to say, can we touch on like all the TikToks and challenges and
but hold on that one because I want to discuss what we would discuss offline is
the
Black man and the barber. I'm watching Stephen A. Smith right now. He got a cut. I'm like, who cut his shit? Steven's paying
top dollar.
And he gets somebody coming in with a hazmat.
Niggas is risking that Rona to go get the yo. If you work in a shop and Stephen A. say, yo, dude, I'm gonna give you a G
to come down
and line me up.
Yeah,
you know you ain't going in the shop in a minute.
Right.
That's hard to tell a nigga not to roll the dice on that, bro. That's a good amount of toilet paper and chicken.
Exactly. So, you know, I got to, you know, there's been, I haven't really seen like a full hashtag on it, but definitely like as, you know, more and more people go online and whatnot, you're just seeing people's, you know, cuts wolfing, you're seeing, you know, beards not lined up properly, you're seeing, you know, facial hair not trimmed.
Not black.
The gray, let me tell you something. Y'all niggas, listen. Women were already prepared for like, all right, the nail struggle. I gotta get these gels off. Let me braid my hair down. Let me get a quick install. Let me use wig. Like, we were already figuring out, like, okay, what is it gonna look like? I'm not gonna be able to get a pedicure. How I'm gonna handle this at home? Brows gonna look crazy. as much as y'all motherfuckers talk about women and maintenance, y'all niggas can't never say nothing again. Ever.
It's a lot of curtains being pulled.
Kodo pulled that bitch the fuck back.
Yeah.
Peace the Puffy,
Diddy, or whatever, like, who's full gray now.
And it looks good, though. Like, some of y'all just let these
rings rock. You shouldn't go back, actually.
Yeah, some of y'all just let this shit rock.
Another one.
Oh, Kevin Hart. Yeah,
Kevin Hart.
Happened in like 3 days. I was
nigga, welcome home.
Because
for a couple years, and I think I might have mentioned this to you guys offline, I kind of was like, yo, man, like, am I bugging? Like, how are these niggas 52 and 48 and they ain't
black
got
hair.
Not a single strand of gray? Like, not nothing. Even one, not a hint. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. That shit don't even sound like, am I that stressed out? Like, is that
right?
Like, yeah, you know, and so when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, you're running low on that just for men."
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Barbara can't come over.
And right. that Beijing, you niggas been getting them Beijing hairlines.
Yep. Okay. But just a touch. Yeah,
just a slight bit. Not crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome home, brother. Welcome
exactly,
home.
Exactly. Exactly. I ain't seen Jamie Foxx, so I want to see what his shit look like. I know, I guess I should say allegedly for all this shit. I know allegedly Rick Ross's shit is a little too black for normal behavior. And there's a few other cats that I'm just kind of blanking out on right now that definitely got a lot of dark hair that doesn't match up with their age group. Mm. You know, let's see what Hov look like. Because right. Hov 52. Hov 50 as well. And his shit is jet black. You know, he got the dreads and all that, but his dreads is black. It's like, let's see what Hov look like.
Let's see that new growth, nigga.
Hov gonna have a season, soon, like you said, because ain't nobody there to twist this shit up in the back and all that. You can say, welcome home, black men. Welcome home, because, y'all been faking the funk for quite a long time.
And also, too, I'm very surprised that there's so many dudes that I always felt like the lineup was like a rite of passage.
Mm.
Like learning how, like getting your
how to line your shit up.
Learning how to line your shit up, zeking yourself when you like 12,
yeah,
13, trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I always thought that shit was a rite of passage. I mean, look, I guess when you got a certain amount of money, it's not really, it's of no consequence to you, right? Like your guy is on retainer and, you know, whatever. But I've always had clippers, trimmers, you know, straight razors, shaver. I've always kept stuff like that.
Yeah, you keep your shit look like you came out the shop today.
Yeah.
Now something, Sean, because you keep your joints so low. Is it true that it's easier when you keep your hair very, very low, like damn near bald,
to
cut at home?
It's super easy, but also, again, even when my hair was longer,
mm-hmm.
It was, I have all of the tools. Like, it was never a thing for me to, if I needed to line my beard. And to be honest, too, like, Mona's lined me up before with the straight razor. Like
right.
Yeah, so yes, you got options.
I got, like, I'm not going to be looking butt so fucked up. And again, because of the corona, and you guys can see, the listeners can't, you know, I've shaved my beard down. It's not as thick.
Yeah.
So every 5 days or so, like I'll just grab the trimmers and just kind of even everything out to make sure it's not getting bushy.
Yeah. So I could do my face, but I could do a line, but the top part I'm scared of. So, but like I said, this shit, you know, the way this is going, June, July, before a shop possibly opens up, ain't no telling what niggas gonna be looking like in Jesus, this is like this now in 2 months. Oh my god, dude,
yeah, I don't want to hear nothing from y'all niggas.
I know you wanted to talk about TikTok. The black creators unite hashtag. Black creators unite, right?
I think it's black creators unite, yeah.
Yeah,
and there's there's two things regarding TikTok. The first thing is some of y'all need to get the fuck off your kids' TikTok. That's the first thing.
Yeah, you niggas 48 trying to do the K camp.
I'm so disappointed into something new. If you were old enough to be out here for computer love and you giving me a soft shoulder shimmy and clap for something new, I'm mad at you.
And like, a lot, and you know what? This is also showing a lot of y'all niggas ain't got no real rhythm.
No,
a lot of niggas can't dance.
But if there's any challenge that should have been for us, it's the something new challenge. All you gotta do is give me a little shake and a clap. And
yeah, it's so easy. Like, it's like two elbow pushes and
elbows be mad loose. The elbows be spinning. Yeah,
be off. And,
you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what? Come on, y'all could have hit that for the computer live mover. Anyway, so some of y'all need to get the fuck off of TikTok. But there is the girl. There's now a Megan Thee Stallion challenge.
Yeah, Captain Hook.
Yeah, so...
Savage.
So a black girl made that up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really just like... it's a dance routine, right? Mm-hmm. This is a dance routine. Black girl made it up. And she's at, like, few hundred thousand views.
Mm-hmm.
But white girls...
Millions.
White creators are in the millions. All of them. And they don't even do the shit right. They be
White families.
Moves wrong. Got their families in the background. So the thing is that TikTok is a Chinese app.
Mm-hmm.
The algorithm apparently pushes light skin, like what they perceive is what the tech perceives as attractive, which is a thing. Racial bias in tech is a mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. What the tech perceives as attractive users to mm-hmm. the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, heavier, darker skin, stuff like that, to the bottom. But now there are a handful of black TikTokers, because the black folks are the ones that keep all the TikTok shit moving.
Oh, remember they stole the other joint from the girl.
The Renegade.
Yeah, I mean, God bless her that she got, you know, pushing, got on the NBA All-Star game and all that. But like, they were still. And remember, initially they were trying to accredit the Renegade to those white girls. Or they had them on the NBA All-Star weekend, right. And then later on they put the girl on the halftime because people were like, "What the fuck?
Right?
Her dance." And right. then they still made her do it with them.
Right.
And when she did it with them, you could see they couldn't keep up with her. It was like, because it's crazy, man.
So, yeah, black TikTokers are using this time to strike back. Because the other thing, I haven't seen the white girls copy it yet, but I'm just waiting for it to happen. There's a new challenge called the Don't Rush Challenge, where it's a group of girlfriends who are all, like, they be in the house looking crazy. They take
their makeup, put it in the camera,
come back, and they're done up.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen girls do that, and now I've seen some guys do that, too. All black.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of them look...
African?
African, so maybe it came from the Nigerian community.
Yeah.
But bottom line, the musician
is also, I think he's a Nigerian, or at least...
That makes sense. But you definitely gonna see them steal that, too, because...
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's 100% coming. It's 100%. And it's really cute, but you gotta actually have some editing skill.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be able to, because it's like 5 people per challenge, minimum. You know what I mean? So it's like, you gotta have some editing skill. You gotta actually know what the fuck you're doing. Not all these people do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm inspired by, like, people getting more recognition coming out of there, and I'm hoping that this is an opportunity for them to shine. Now, the other thing I want to say is that this is a time when videos are going viral very easily. It turns out we got Jeff. That drunk elephant video wasn't current or where it was supposed to be.
It wasn't.
Mm-mm. So, like, I think what we need to be careful of right now is that when you see something positive, you know, it's easy to want to amplify it to have something to feel good. And also, when we see something that seems very frustrating, same thing, like, we want to amplify it. Like, I've been trying to be more careful about clips about people outside and stuff like that. Like, is that current? Is it old? But there's one video that really disappointed me because I saw people amplifying it who should know better. And that was a video that I believe the original was probably from... there's been this movement for everybody to clap and cheer at 7:00 p.m. for health workers.
Mm-hmm.
So from your windows, from your steps, from whatever.
Your balcony, whatever.
I think this video was that. Somebody put audio of a DJ playing Juicy in a crowd, for a crowd, and like cutting the music in the crowd, chanting the words to Biggie's Juicy. So the person put that audio over it to make it seem like, kind of like how everybody was singing Please Don't Stop the Music in Italy, singing Rihanna's Please Don't Stop the Music, or Bitch Better Have My Money, Bitch Better Have My Money from Italy. they put the audio over to make it seem like they were looking out over their neighborhood, and this was coming from the crowd.
Yeah,
in the neighborhood. But I'm like, but first of all, they said it was Brooklyn. I'm like, that don't look like no parts of Brooklyn
at all.
Secondly, I was like, their vantage point was very high, and the music was very clear. There were no echoes. Yeah, there were no reverbs.
Yeah.
There were no delays. There were no windows open. So I was like, I was like, where are these people? Where's the source of the music? How is the sound not on a delay? How is it not whatever? But people just kept posting. People from Brooklyn were posting it. People who knew Big were posting
Mark Pitts posted it. He mad at Big.
People who make their money with their ear were reposting it. And I was like, how did you niggas get got on this? Like, all you had to do, like, even paying attention to it, it was immediate, like, this does not line up at all. Did you see it, Sean? You're on mute.
I did. I was a little, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, nigga. I really don't believe nothing. my inclination is always like, I'm gonna tell you the first thing I thought. The first thing I thought is that Brooklyn ain't that Brooklyn no more.
Yeah, right. That area.
Who are all these people that know this?
Yeah.
I know Ezra and Tad that share apartment that's from Colorado that own a coffee shop down there. Don't fucking know no Big like that.
Right. And if they heard that type of noise, they're calling the police.
Immediately. I'd like to have a unit down there. You know what I'm saying? So that was my first thing. And then I realized, but the spirit in which I felt like it was created and posted was to lighten the mood, to sort of give the air. And so I didn't want to be, well, actually, guy. And I recognized that it was really, that's really what it was about. It was serving its intended purpose.
Mm-hmm. Even though
it wasn't genuine.
But when people started being like, I got tears in my eyes. I love Brooklyn so much. This is my city. You know, Mark's like tagging Ms. Wallace, like, look what your son did. That's when I was like, all right, niggas.
Yeah, well, you know, I would give him a pass only because I get the feeling that he's not really on the internet like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't to this level of social media, he's an old nigga.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like the equivalent to the old Facebook niggas, right? Where they just be posting random stuff.
Yeah, posting shit.
Not really. Exactly. So I saw it, and again, I'm from Brooklyn. I, you know, obviously love Big. You know, we know what he meant to the borough, particularly that area. But I never bought that. I never drank that Kool-Aid. It didn't quite curl all the way over to me.
Yeah, to me, honestly, I didn't buy it either because I was just like, I was looking at it from a visual standpoint. I don't see any windows open. I don't see anybody for that much noise to be happening at one time. Like, people would have to be either standing on their balconies or hanging out of the windows. Like, I was just like, this is no way that, and that whole, it's a huge section of people would just do it at one time. Like, I just didn't buy it. I mean, it was a nice sentiment, but I was like,
that's all it was.
But I think my thing is where we need to be careful, right, is like, we're still in an election year. We're also in the midst of a whole lot of misinformation about this fucking virus, right? So the same brain that won't take time to say, let me be careful about reposting this, or let me repost it and say something like, this may not be real, but I love the thought behind this, is the same brain that'll fuck around and have you reposting some shit about, you know,
Something Trump did that he didn't do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it. I know it seems like, okay, Naima, they're not the same, but they're kind of the same, because it's that same feeling of, this is justifying something I believe in that will have the right post some what's a feel good meme for them, but what is a lie? You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
I agree.
Be more careful about
this is like the Russians and whoever else is, you know, doing all the trickery and the bots and stuff. Like, this is, they're looking at all this like, oh, this is going to be easier than the last time because.
Well, and that's how some of those accounts start. They start by posting what seems like positive, feel good content, mm-hmm. yep. and get a bunch of people retweeting it, and then they slowly
then
start
they flip it.
Their messaging once they get a bunch of followers.
Exactly. So, yeah. Did y'all get to watch Uncorked?
I haven't yet. I've heard okay. mixed views, but I plan to watch it. It looks black as shit.
I
you watch it. Yeah, bro. I don't know if you. Yeah, I don't even know you being.
God bless. You know, I'll you know, it's definitely not my bag. I'm sure that I'm going to come around and watch it, but it's not in my
wheelhouse. It ain't on the list.
Definitely not my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, because I saw a trailer for it, and even though when you say to people, it's about this dude who wants to become a sommelier, you're like, yeah.
yeah it's
but what
it's
really about is a dude who wants to do some bougie shit that a black family doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's written and directed by Prentice Penny, who is the guy who does Insecure with
Issa. Yeah.
Exactly. So he's already got a hit TV show out in the marketplace. And it's about like we said, it's about a black family in Memphis, Tennessee, who owns a rib shack, and the oldest son is expected to take over at some point, and he decides that he wants to become a sommelier, which is a master expert in wines. And it's I actually know a girl who kind of dabbled in it. She didn't take the, she took the test and didn't pass or whatever. But she didn't get anywhere near as far as this movie goes. But for those who don't know, like, it's really hard. Like, the wine, being a sommelier,
guy
quotes the movie, there's only 230 in the world, period, sommeliers, period. So, out of that, I don't know how many blacks are. There's a black guy in the movie, just has a short scene where he's kind of like introducing the class, and I'm assuming maybe he might actually be one,
right?
You know, but again, it's 230 in the world, so of that, the black percentage, I'm sure, is extremely low. Because it goes way deeper than just the wines. It's about like the biology of like the soils and where the grapes are from and the different regions of wines, and obviously it's a lot of science actually that goes into becoming a sommelier. But it's Courtney B. Vance and Niecy Nash play his parents. I won't give the whole movie away, but they're both great, as Southern black parents. You know what I'm saying? And there's some really funny scenes in it. There's some really kind of sad, poignant scenes in it. Is it like the best movie ever? No, but it's kind of like a nice feel good, movie that you would see on TV One or Netflix, right. Or it's like a nice Sunday. It's a nice Sunday Netflix. Watch.
It's on Netflix.
It's a well, yeah, okay, yes, on Netflix. Excuse me. I meant to say own.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I meant to say own. That type of vibe. It's that type of energy. It's like it's a nice Sunday watch. It's got a little twists and turns and stuff. I won't give away the film. One of the things I did like about the film is there's no real villain in the film. There's nobody like being like bad, and he ends up having a couple of really good friendships with a couple of white guys in the movie too. And they never do the thing where it's like, I'm black, you're black, and I'm white, but we're still brothers. They don't do that. None of that shit happens. There's no white villain. There's no like white like teacher that's kind of giving him a hard time. It's just a good kind of even keeled movie. I said on a nice rainy Sunday, it's a great watch. And you can watch it with your family.
Not even a rainy Sunday. Shit, where are we going? Just put it on.
Yeah, exactly. Today. There's no person. There's no sex in it, really. So you can watch it with your family.
I wanted to interject and say, so there are regular. I don't want to say regular, but there are regular sommeliers, and then there's the master sommelier. And that's
he's trying to be a master sommelier.
Right, that's the one where there's only like 200 and some in the world. There are only two black master sommeliers in the world. I just looked up.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to look online after this. I kind of suspect that guy that introduced the class might be one of them. Okay. Because of the way he just kind of was carrying himself. And he wasn't, you could tell he wasn't really an actor. He was just kind of it. But anyway, so I say watch Uncorked when you get a chance. And, you know, because of the, you know, the insanity that we're dealing with right now, it's top 10 on Netflix, on Netflix things, because there ain't nothing else to watch. You know, I mean, I bet you money Tyler's about to drop something new soon on that Netflix, that Netflix deal he got, Fall from Grace Part 2. And I'll be watching. what else I want to talk about? Hold on, y'all. Shit. Let's talk about the writer battles, the music songwriter battles,
and producer.
And producer, yeah, songwriter/producer battle. So there were two highly watched ones this week. You know what? Before I get into that, just to kind of mention Tory Lanez, who's got like, it's really interesting how, again, with this chaos that we're dealing with, we talked about last week with Derek, with D-Nice, and now watching with Tory Lanez, like people that, with Derek, kind of maybe you could see it coming with Tory Lanez. I don't think anyone saw it coming where his quarantine radio thing would become like a monster. Like he had Drake on yesterday. Okay, so Tory Lanez has a thing called Quarantine Radio. And okay. He does like the split screen like everybody else. Like he has girls. He's kind of combining everything. So he's taking a little bit of the boozy shit because he has girls come in, you know, twerking and, you know, taking their clothes off. He's talking to all like a bunch of different artists that he knows. He's got people like checking in, like, you know, he's talking shit to people. So he's kind of taking little pieces of everything and kind of combined it. But his is like by far, as of now, the largest one. Like Drake popped on yesterday and they had 300,000 viewers when Drake was on there.
Oh, wow.
Like Derek had 100,000. We were like, oh my God. And I'm not, right. I am not downplaying Derek's thing at all. It's amazing. But think about this. Tory had like two times that amount, you know, like, right. And he's consistently has like 200-something thousand people on his quarantine radio. So it's just shocking that he, you know, he's a, you know, fairly successful artist. You know, he's done some pretty big hit records. He makes, you know, a good amount of money. He's doing fine. But who knew that this quarantine radio thing was in his cards to turn his, you know, whenever this ends, turn his career into some whole other shit, because now he's going to be a way bigger household name than he would have ever been as just a singer rapper. Like it's crazy. So, but anyway, that leading into, I just wanted to mention that because it's turned into like a phenomenon. But, so this week past, we had two songwriter producer battles, that did really well on, Instagram Live. We had The Dream versus Sean Garrett. And we had Jonte Austin versus Neo. So let's talk about The Dream and Sean first.
A disaster. So The Dream and Sean, Sean was actually organized by Tim and Swiss, who had a really good one.
Maybe last a year ago.
Weekend?
Oh, was that last one?
Yeah, they did a new one. Yeah, like recently.
Oh, a new one. They did one before. Yeah.
Yes.
Way back, and then they did a newer one. Yeah.
So they got together as like coaches, I guess, to see who else, you know, they could get
going on. They're kind of curating. Like, they're curating it now.
Yeah, and I want to say someone else had done it, but I can't remember. But anyway, so now we've moved out of like the deep.
Oh, what's it called? Did it last week too? Boy Wonder versus
Boy Wonder and Hit-Boy. Mm-hmm. Boy Wonder, the Battle of the Boys.
And Hit-Boy.
Boy Wonder and Hit-Boy. So now we've progressed out of the DJ spin stage into the writer producer battle stage. So Tim and Swiss's was fun because they're friends, right? They're friends, boys, they're brothers. Mm-hmm. Dream don't really fuck with Sean Garrett. Sean Garrett is kind of special as a personality.
Yeah. But they don't fuck with each other, really. Like, you're not going to like fight in the street, but they don't really.
But it seemed like Sean was trying to like smooth it over with Dream, and Dream's kind of like, nigga, fuck you. Before the battle even started, these niggas was getting at each other offline. The Dream was like, I ain't really want to do this shit. It's self-promotion. I was like, I'd rather put a bag up to give it, you know, towards COVID. Sean ain't want to put his money up, blah, blah, blah. You know, but Sean, you ain't. The kind of music I do and write, like, real and blah, blah, you can't touch it. And then Sean, who was already drinking, call him all kinds of cocksuckers and whatever. So I was like, this shit ain't happening. But it was comedy from the beginning because Dream did get on, because I had no intentions of checking this shit out. But Dream did get on and was playing fucking John Coltrane's A Love Supreme in a room with a blue light talking shit about Sean, right? So, and I was like, this is the most Terrence Nash shit ever. This nigga in a blue room with fucking
Coltrane. You can barely see him.
Yeah, and then Swiss and Tim were both like, Sean's trying to get on. He can't connect. It was just like 40 minutes of foolery. It was 40 minutes of like,
40 minutes of fuckery.
What is he doing? And the comments were hilarious, though, because you got Neo in there. You got, you know, Terrence J in there. You got JD in there. You got, you know, you got real
Lenny S.
You got real people in there. Like, they start cracking jokes on the live itself. And that's what actually made it funny. These niggas had all kinds of technical difficulties. Sean got on, he got off, he couldn't reconnect. They had to go to Sean's page. This nigga was making all kinds of crazy ass faces. They were just, they neither had a strategy. Neither was really, Dream was letting the songs rock for an entire like 2 minutes. Like it was the most ridiculous shit, but what made it funny.
Sean's got the camera on his face. He's like, well, he's licking his tongue out at the camera.
Sean, like, Sean talking, set up every fucking song. He got monologues. Yeah. But what made the shit funny was, like, what's called? Swiss had to call him, like, nigga, drink some water. Like, yeah. But what made it funny was how much of a disaster it was.
So let me ask you a question. Who do you think won?
Honestly, Sean ended more strongly. Sean had a stronger end just in terms of straight music. But I feel like Dream didn't care. Like, I feel like by the end, Dream would just play a song and just sit there, like, with his head on his hand, like, whatever, nigga. I feel like Dream just didn't care.
And then Sean would go on his rants, and Dream would be like, let me know when you're done.
At one point, Sean was talking, and Dream just played another song. He was like, I'm going to keep playing songs, because this nigga just running his mouth. And
I call it a tie because Dream early on was giving it to Sean,
murdering him.
But then it flipped, and then people had kind of forgotten how many number ones Sean did, and as he kept playing records, it was like, oh wait a minute, I didn't know he did that. Oh, he did that too. So like I said, Sean ended way stronger than the Dream. The Dream made a couple mistakes to me. I think that for the crowd that was in the room for him to play the Justin Bieber record, Baby Baby, I know it was a high charting record. I'm not saying it wasn't a hit,
right?
But it wasn't something that we wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying? That particular crowd. And also when he played the Jay Electronica Jay-Z song, nobody wanted to hear that either. And then he played Obsessed on Mariah Carey, and it was again. I know that was a,
nobody
you know, cares. But nobody wanted to hear that shit. That's not one of Mariah's songs that people, want to hear. So it was kind of like. And meanwhile, Sean's playing like bangers. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like, But it was just a really awkward, uncomfortable. It wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun. Only the most entertaining thing about it was the comments. Watching, because I wasn't even paying attention to what they were playing. I was just watching everybody's comments in the live. Like, even at one point, Fat Joe got in there about what's called Sean, and was like, "Fuck wrong with this nigga." At one point, one of these little girls, I can't remember which one, of these little singers, Tinashe, was like, "Stop looking at us like that, please." To Sean, like, so I was just like, I don't know what Sean thinks he's doing here. It was really
I don't know what that was about.
He was clearly drunk or high or something.
Yeah.
So then the next day, Swiss had like a live conversation with him to basically scold him for like not being prepared and for being drunk. And Sean was making excuses like, I was tired.
I took some cold medicine or some allergy medicine.
So then came Jonte and Neo. And Jonte,
that was like the day after, right? That was like the night after, right?
Day, maybe two at most, but I think it was the day after. Yeah. Because Neo was on that live. Jonte, who I think is really underrated, like terribly underrated as a writer.
Yeah.
I don't think
he'll be that underrated now because of people seeing
They had ground rules in place, which I think was important. They were each doing
great. Person hook. Yep. And only 20 songs.
Yeah, going 20 rounds and out. So that yep. one went much better. But I think the difference, I think the real difference, honestly, is because I don't even know if you need all these ground rules, although if people are going to keep doing them, it's helpful. I think the real difference is, like, there's a mutual love and respect there. And that was my biggest takeaway from Dream and Sean, is that, like, you can't just put two niggas together. Like, it's going to be more fun for everybody if they have energy. They need to have energy together, right? Like, Liz was clowning Tim and was like, here you go with your baby teeth, you know, whatever, but they're, but you know, it's love. Like, they're brothers. They're shit talking, but it's fun. The Dream and Sean was shit talking, but it was uncomfortable because they meant that shit, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I agree. Like, Jonte and Neo, like you said, there's definitely a mutual respect, but by the same token, they both have egos. They both know they're great writers, and they were talking shit. But it was like family reunion talking shit, or spate or cookout talking shit. Yeah, you talking shit, and you getting at each other, but ain't nobody gonna be, you know, be mad at the end of it. Because at the end, it was both like, yo, you know, dude, like, you know how much I love you, respect you. I can't. And then sometimes they will play a record, and then like Jonte when Jonte played like Sweet Lady, which he wrote when he was like 15.
Which is
insane. This thing was like in like 10th grade.
Right.
And already had a pub deal. but, you know, in Dream, Neo was like, damn.
Yeah, people definitely say Jonte won that.
Yeah, he did. He did. And then when Neo played like Let Me Love You, like Jonte was like, damn. I love this record. He was like, yo, keep playing it, like, you know. So like you said, it was a whole different energy between them two. I enjoyed that.
Now Tim and Swiss have apparently, I think it's really Swiss doing this because Tim ain't got that much energy. They have apparently brokered T-Pain and Scott Storch, and even T-Pain was like, Scott is gonna fucking curb stomp me, like. But, you know, I think people will tune in to see what it is. But Scott got
it. I think Scott will get him. But I think people will be, because, and I, you know, again, you know, T-Pain was signed to Jive. And so, I knew him, you know, it's been years since I've seen him. But I know, a couple of years anyway. But I knew him back then and all that. So I'm going to present that. But, and, you know, he's a little goofy. And he's just this pop locking thing. And he's kind of. It's got a kind of weird energy, but I think people have kind of, because of that, and because of like the death of auto-tune thing and all that shit, I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten what he has. And I think that I'm not saying he's going to beat Scott, but I think he'll make a way better showing of it tonight than people think he will. That's all I'm saying. I think it's going to be like, oh, right. Shit, I forgot he did. He's got records, man. He got some records.
The other thing about T-Pain's records is that all T-Pain's records sound like, I don't want to say they sound the same, but you know, they sound the same.
I think, well, let's look.
You know what I mean.
But I think you, let's talk next week, you know, and I think there'll be a little more variety than you think is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So yes, I wanted to mention that because I was fun. Yeah, Sean. Yeah, Sean ain't watching none of this shit.
I'm not watching it. God bless them folks. I tried to. I actually was interested initially in watching the Sean Garrett Dream shit, but then, you know, it just looked like two. You know, really, honestly, man, like it just looked like two lanes. It looked like one trying to outstrip the other. You know, niggas is washing fucking Maybachs and Rolls Royces in the back, and playing golf in their backyard.
No, the Dream started chipping golf balls. That was hilarious.
And to me, you know, honestly, man, what turned me off, man, is like that really wasn't the spirit of this shit. It was all piggybacked off of the D-Nice organic shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what it was, right? And it kind of, you know, spiraled into that, and then maybe spiraled is the wrong word now, but it kind of engulfed into that or whatever. And then these niggas get on, and it's just, you know, it don't feel fun. One nigga look like he high. Another nigga is basically calling him broke, and, you know, You know what I'm saying? It just was like, I don't want to fucking see that shit. And honestly, it was terrible at reading the room, in my opinion. Like, well, niggas, nobody wants to see you two niggas argue about how rich you are. And no. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck?
Not in the middle of a pandemic crisis.
Niggas is home. They looking for entertainment. And I guess that's, you know, listen, I mean, that's a double-edged sword, right? You get what you got what you asked for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wanted that shit. And yeah, this is why, you know, the game is what it is. But it seemed like them niggas really don't like each other. And what's the word I'm looking for? They have a disgust for one another.
Animosity.
Like a true.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't, like I might spit on that nigga if he's on fire, but I'll wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and let them burn just a little bit.
Yeah, burn right. A little bit
and
more.
That's what came through. Like, this is supposed to be a friendly competition, and that was not a friendly competition.
Yeah, and I don't really, I'm just not a dude, like, I don't really have the patience to be on there and watch these niggas, you know, just kind of randomly play music. Like, that's not entertaining to me. You know what I'm saying? I get it from I get it from you guys' perspective because there's a different level of, you know, for Naima, that's, you know, this is a part of what you do, right? You have to be in the know of this shit. And Jeff, the same with you, right? Like, you can't be the dude that didn't know Tory Lanez. Like, I don't fucking follow Tory Lanez. I don't know Drake being on there. I'm, you know, let me know when y'all gonna put Jimmy and Terry up there.
Right.
And I tune in, nigga.
Yeah.
Going back to DJ stuff, I also want to give a shout out to Manny Fresh, who I think we don't talk about enough in a really great producer and DJ conversations. I've been to a Manny Fresh party. That nigga
me too.
Is lit.
Me too.
First of all, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
He's a prodigy. Like, his dad was a DJ. He grew up in this shit for real, for real.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this is the family business. So this is not, like, I think we underrate him because he can survive in regions that aren't New York-based.
Right.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
New York and L.A., like, if you're not surviving in those regions, then it's kind of like you kind of float under the radar. But, yeah, my nigga, he can not only earn a living, he can do well. And he's doing what he loves, and I've always said that, man. Like, when you niggas do what you love, man, like, that's really the win.
That's the goal. Fun, and he's having fun. That's the thing with all, I think we said this last week, the thing with all of this online content is that you can tell when people are having fun versus when people are just trying to put some content up. And when you are having fun, that's what makes the difference. Like, Manny shit has been live because he's having fun. DJ Kali Park, who AKA Mr. Smurf, was doing a couple nights. That nigga was playing JJ Fab. Like, he was he was playing all kinds. Like, it was like an old Atlanta party, right? From like the late 80s, early 90s. Like, that shit was jumping. So there are other DJs, there have been some DJs who've been trying to recreate the lightning in a bottle that Derek captured, but there are also just some DJs who are doing what they do because they would be doing it every day. Like, they would be spinning four, 5 nights a week, and they still need to spin. DJing is a skill. You got to stay in practice. You
got to keep it up. Yeah.
You got to do workouts, right? And you want to do it for a crowd. I also want to shout out Skills in Virginia, who's kind of loosely part of like the Timbaland Missy clique, because he does them too. And it's like a lot of these DJs, the ones who love it, they're doing it because they love it and they need to do it. They would do this in the house if there wasn't a camera on.
Regardless, I just want to say one thing. One of the things I think that the underlying thing that made the Sean dream thing so nasty is because, first of all, they've been circling each other for a long time, being two of the biggest writers, to come out of Atlanta. And so they just kind of had this competition anyway. And they're both, cocky guys. But it's also, this whole thing was based on Beyonce. That's what it was.
Yeah,
it was a Beyonce battle. Sean worked with Beyonce first. You know, he gave her some smashing records. Dream, kind of took over after Single Ladies. And they've been kind of that's been the beef. Like, it's like Dream's like, no, they're my friends. They're not really your friends. And Hove is my man. He's not your man. It's like, that's really, and that's what made it so like nasty and childish. It's like, you know, you're battling over two people that ain't even on this fucking line. Like,
what do I want to, you think I want to watch two 40-year-old niggas who got money to burn tell one telling another, you a dick rider, you a cocksucker, you like, what am I watching here?
Am I watching?
This is trash. Entertaining. You niggas sound crazy.
Yeah, you sound crazy.
The other thing is, I also said that's why I don't fuck with the music in the last 20 years, because in my day, when they had beef with each other, like, nigga, it was because I stole some actual money from you, maybe.
Yes.
Your wife. Like, maybe I'm going to cut you when I see you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to pull out a pistol. Like, it was some real, like, we're not arguing over who's richer, who's closer to Hov. Like, that's stupid.
That's dumb.
You actually
going to... Hey, Bray Gordy, my man, he ain't your man.
Yeah, I know William, nigga.
Nigga, you don't know Willie? Like, I know William.
You know Smoke. I know William, nigga.
I know Willie. I was over Smokey House last week for the cookout. I ain't see you. You're like, come on, nigga. What are we talking about? The other thing is, again, you know, it would never happen because of the circumstances, but I got to say, R. Kelly will mop the floor with all these niggas. R. Kelly would mop the floor with every one of these niggas.
Somebody tweeted that, and they said, look, we're reading the room here, and we know this is definitely not the time. But and the nigga wrote Sylvester. That's how I knew he was not trying to get flame. He said Sylvester will mop the floor with these niggas for real.
No, he absolutely would. Are you kidding me?
No, nigga, I don't think any of these niggas could even compare to just the 12th album. You could just throw the 12th album on.
Word.
And
be good.
It's done. The show is over. Shut the curtain down. Call the cleaning crew. Word. It's night time.
Right.
I don't even know which one of these niggas would, because me and my man Ike, Isaac Hayes, we were talking about who, and he was like, I hadn't thought about Robert at the time. He was right. He's like, yo, Babyface about the floor with all these niggas. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But then I was like, you know what? Robert versus Babyface would be
a battle.
Crazy.
And that would probably be the only battle that could, the only other person who could match with Babyface. What really would need to happen would be an LA Face and Jimmy and Terry battle, which we'd be there. That shit would take a week.
You would have to do decades. You'd have to do 80s, and then you'd have to do 90s.
Yeah, you have to do decades. But Face and Rob, if you kept it to like a 90s era, 100%. But the thing, like, I did a remix bracket for March Madness, and I hated having to leave Kel's remixes off because he definitely got five that would have been in it. The Ignition remix, the Bump and Grind remix, the
Down Low,
Fiesta remix, the Down Low remix, like, it hurt me.
The Janet Jackson remix.
Yeah, but I had to.
Yeah, but Rob would wipe niggas out with this, you know.
Which is why I'm so mad. Like, I'm mad at him for being a fucking piece of shit. But I'm also like, my nigga, your music is so entwined in your disgustingness that I can't even, like, we can't even make up. Like, I can still rock Michael because Michael ain't talking about little boys, right? But, like, show me some ID before I get me deep into it. Like, I can't. Yeah. It seems like
you're ready. Your body's calling.
It's just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. So, just wanted to mention that because, you know, that was fun. And I'm sure it's a rumor that Jermaine and Puff are going to do it at some point.
And they should.
They should. And they, again, two guys who love and respect each other, but will go at each other's necks. They're going to go at each other's necks. And entertaining. We have no beef.
And it'll also be like a party vibe, for sure.
Absolutely, because they got party records. So that would be interesting.
And you're showmen. I appreciate showmen.
Yeah. And Jermaine's a DJ, so he's going to have it, you know, moving right. So that's, if that happens, that'll be maybe the biggest.
You just reminded me of one thing I want to interject. There are a lot of DJs who became producers. There is a difference between, but not all producers are DJs. And that,
absolutely not,
I think, has come through a lot lately. Like, that's the main thing I was thinking when I was watching the Sean and Dream joint, was like, these niggas don't DJ. Because you know how to set your records up. You know how to build, how to read the room. And I was like, y'all just playing shit all out of order and whatever.
And I feel like Jonte, because, you know, Jonte and Jermaine are, they're like basically brothers. They're so close. I feel like Jonte probably called Jermaine. And they probably went over his list. How should I do this? Which record should I play? No, yeah. As you know, how should I play this? When should I play this? Because I think Neo, we're going on this for so long, but I think Neo also made a couple mistakes of playing like "Let Me Love You" too early.
Right.
He played "Sexy Love" too early. You know, like he held "Irreplaceable" for his last record, which I thought shouldn't have been the last record. And that's how Jonte really got him at the end when he played Mariah and Mary. At the end, it's like, can you top Be Without You and We Belong Together? Like, so he said the DJ thing came into factor in his list. Let's mention Nas' favorite uncle's Public Enemy.
Chuck Lyon! So, oh, my God.
Uncle Chuck and Uncle Flav a few weeks ago, everything's going to be PC and BC and PC pre-corona. I'm being AC. So PC, or BC rather, pre-corona. What is it? PC.
Or it's before
BC. I've been in the house too damn long. PC, pre-corona, Public Enemy issued a statement saying they were breaking up because Flavor Flav did not, I mean, and I know Nas going to cut me off soon because she'll be like, nah, nigga, you ain't saying it right. But Flavor Flav did not want to support Public Enemy and Chuck D's, what's it called when you endorsement of Bernie Sanders? Was the story in a nutshell.
The story,
am I right?
First, Flav publicly filed a cease and desist against Public Enemy for this Bernie Sanders event. First,
yes,
that he did not agree to it. They can't use the name because they have been using Public Enemy Radio because while Flav hadn't been performing with them, so he was like, they can't use the name without me. I don't agree to this. Whatever. Then, like a day later or so, Chuck released a public statement that Flav was being fired from Public Enemy. Basically, he didn't say this, but basically because he was basically like, Flav would rather Chuck and job than do some real shit. That's basically what he did, without saying.
Yeah. He'll only do something if there's money involved.
Right. And then a couple of days after, he won't do anything altruistic, was what he said. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days after that, he actually had Griff, SW1, like a whole bunch of other people who nobody cares about anybody in Public Enemy but Flav and Chuck. But he had all the other Public Enemy affiliates sign a written statement about Flav being excommunicated. So that step to me is the key step in what is happening now, which is who was he talking to? He interviewed with
I was looking at the damn clip.
Talib Kweli. Yes. And Talib was like, what happened?
Yeah, what's really good?
Chuck basically was like, me and Flav was playing. And he was going to come out during Coachella. We was going to surprise everybody. It was all a publicity stunt. That's basically, I mean, Chuck said more, but what he basically said was it was a publicity stunt. Nigga, we have, quote unquote, known y'all niggas for 40 fucking years. Who do you think you're talking to right now?
Chuck. I know Chuck. You know, I've seen him a long time. I know Chuck. I love Chuck. I love Public Enemy. I love what they meant, what they stand for. All that being said, nigga, you're lying.
This a fucking
like first of all, y'all niggas like bro always says, y'all niggas are 60. Right. Ain't even nobody in your age bracket even paying attention to all this publicity stunt. Nobody trolls at 60.
Right. Like you brought up his drug usage. Like that, you don't play like there are some things you don't play about. You brought up a lot of you violated all the play rules. Like all of them. And when Flav, like if they had just been beefing on Twitter, I might have been like, okay, y'all need to join some shit. But nigga, you releasing statements, you putting out signed documents. Don't nobody play that hard. Nobody plays that hard. Sean's face is Sean, what's
your go ahead, bro? Go ahead, bro.
I never want to see them niggas again. like in terms of performance, like there was a time where if you told me OPE was gonna be there, like I might have gotten dressed and went to that shit just for the vibe. But like Chuck had over the last, you know, when I initially joined Twitter, you know, Chuck was a follow.
Yeah.
And Chuck started to become really annoying on Twitter.
I remember.
So it went from, you know, it went from a follow to an unfollow. And it was just like, ah, it's whatever. But like, this whole, I was trolling and all of the shit that transpired with this, man, it really just turned me off, man, to all of them. Yeah. To all of them. Right. And really, man, what this felt like was Chuck realizes that, yeah, I could go out as Public Enemy, okay, but with Flavor, I'm going to get more bread, okay?
Yes.
And this Bernie shit ain't quite curled.
All the way over.
The way I thought
he's not was. Even in a race no more.
My nigga, this ain't quite go the way I thought it was going to go.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I still need to go back because guess what, man? But like at the end of the day, what a lot of people don't understand with these sorts of acts is that, you know, Chuck gets his, you know, royalties, his publishing and all of that sort of shit because he's a songwriter. Okay. Right. But those guys that are on the stage with him, they're not songwriters or producers. They don't get any royalties. They basically feed their family based on how they get these shows.
Right. Yep.
And what happens is that, you know, probably for a group like that, they might have those guys on salary or they get paid a percentage per show. You know what I'm saying? And that percentage dwindles when you don't have the entire nut that you can get out there.
Right.
Exactly. I'm saying, so yeah, like they, you know, like I know you might think Flav is a, you know, a minstrel show and you calling them all this, that, and the third, my nigga, but yeah, he impacts your bottom line and you can pretend like he don't, but he does. And I hate the fact that.
Hold your thought. Flav has actually become more famous than Chuck because of the reality shows.
And on top of that, I don't like the fact that when a dude is in maybe some of the worst positions he could be in life, that you would pull that card. Right. Just man to man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, dude is out here trying to figure it out. You know, he's out here struggling. During Flavor's run, when he was popping and had the shows on VH1 and all that shit, he never uttered a bad word about fucking Chuck D.
Nope.
Right. That shit wasn't even on the radar. He never talked about any of that shit. So for you to do that, it just turned me off completely. And I don't like the fact that I feel like, yeah, well, you know, Flavor's going to have to come back now. You know why? Yeah. He ain't got much of a choice.
Right. Yeah. I hated the whole thing initially because it felt like Chuck was moral grandstanding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, people were justifying it like, well, Flavor's done this and that. And I'm like, yeah, niggas have been doing it for 30 years. Like, is when you want to act like it's a problem? Like, it wasn't a problem when he was fucking dating Bridget Nielsen, but it's a problem now. Like, this is what you want to hang out
with? I forgot about that Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah. So that bothered me. And for him to now come back, because also, again, like it was last month, it's also like a respect thing. It's like when, you know, your favorite uncle who you really look up to and like, yeah, sometimes he gets a little overbearing, but you still let him, like when he talks to the family, you listen because he's
there. Yeah, you're still coming over on Thanksgiving. Shit.
Right. And you still be like, y'all hush and let Uncle Chuck talk now. You know, like that.
Yeah.
It feels like.
You roll your eyes a little bit, but you know, that's what Uncle Chuck is. You let the nigga talk. Like, what are you going to do?
It's like he let us down because it's like, this is beneath. This whole thing is beneath the legacy of Public Enemy.
Even aside from
they've had fights before, this is all beneath the legacy of Public Enemy, and that pisses me off.
And beneath the expectations of what we expect a 60-year-old elder to behave like.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. You out here acting like you should like.
You're not 22.
Young.
You're not pulling no, you know, we'll like the people that come.
Exactly. Even Talib was kind of looking at him like, dang, what? Like, I mean, he kept his composure because he respects him so much, but you can see in his eyes, he was kind of like, what?
Yeah,
what? No. You lied? And no, I noticed another thing. Flavor hasn't said a word, which tells me, I don't believe you, Chuck, because Flav ain't backing you up. Flav ain't come out and say, yeah, we was just playing.
Flav would have been the first one. Flav was really hurt. Those tweets to Chuck, I read them in Flav's voice. Flav was for real hurt. That was
that
hurt.
Is not trolling. That is not trolling. Yeah. So I had to say that. Before we wrap up, is there anything else we need to talk about or want to say? I mean, you want to get back at the corona? Or you just want to just.
I mean, I did want to say a couple things. You know, I say this as not being a, you know, I'm no one's financial advisor, but as we.
Well, you are financial advisor.
As we talk about.
You're the financial advisor.
One of the things I wanted, well, I realized from Twitter that I don't think people understand the difference between the word suspend and waive. And I think that people are assuming these 90-day sort of deferrable payments are waived, and they're not waived, okay? Yeah. You have rent and mortgage due. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah. They might let you be late.
Yes.
But you're going to pay it.
And so there are nuances to certain things. For example, if you have a mortgage and the bank says, hey, we're going to defer your mortgage for 90 days. If your property taxes and your homeowner's insurance is rolled into your mortgage, and what that means is that you make a payment, part goes to the mortgage, part goes to an escrow account. The escrow account then pays your property taxes and your homeowner's insurance policy.
Exactly.
If that's happening, there's still going to be a payment that's required, or your escrow will fall short. Legally, you can't go below a certain level in your escrow account. If you don't have that roll up, then that means that you pay your municipal. Literally, you go to a municipal building, you send a check in for your quarterly tax payments. That's not being discussed at all. So I would suggest people not ignore this. This is not the kind of thing that you want to not take head on. For example, things like at GM, what they're doing is they're doing basically a 30-day lease extension. And what that means is that if you lease in a vehicle and your vehicle is due, if you don't call them within the first 10 days to make whatever arrangements you need to have made, they're extending your lease, which means that there's another payment.
On the back.
On the back end. That right. That does not. That,
so say you got a let's say you got a 30-month lease. Just for a round number, and you go. If you think after 30 months, you're like, I'm about to go turn this in and get a new ride. They're like, nah, you owe us a month, or even if you keep extending 2-3 months more.
Say you get to month 30 or whatever, you don't turn that vehicle in. What they said on the website was that it was, first of all, it was 10 days, not 10 business days, which means basically it's a week.
Right.
Yeah. And then it was automatic, which means that they're not going to be obligated to call you.
Right.
Which means that you're going to look up and think that, oh, because they didn't call me, I'm good.
It's all good.
And they're not changing the terms of your lease. So, for example, let's just say you're an essential worker. Maybe you drive 40 miles to work each way. You know, 30 miles to work each way.
Mm-hmm.
All that mileage is added on. You have to pay over mileage if you're over your miles. You know what I'm saying? They're not adding that on to your So I'm saying all that to say that there are going to be lots of nuances and things that you have got to get on the phone and sort of get some clarity on.
Yeah. And, y'all niggas thinking it's one way when it's another.
when it's totally going to be another way. And, you know, I want people to understand that everyone is going to be, there are going to be lots of people in financial distress. There are going to be lots of people that are going to be, you know, looking for loans and asking for deferments and things like that. And you should, because you would ideally want to keep as much cash on hand as you can. But they don't magically disappear. The terms of
your loan, you're going to owe all 3 months.
You're going to owe 3 months. You got to discuss what the interest rates are going to be, what that's going to mean on the back end. All of those sorts of things, man, are really, really, I'm watching people and I'm really kind of trying to understand, like, okay, they haven't mentioned anything about property tax. They haven't mentioned anything about these utility companies making deferred.
Yeah.
They haven't mentioned anything about a lot of this stuff. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah, PSE&G is not going to shut your power off. All right, but that don't.
Yeah, but you but at the end of this, God willing, say this ends. Just say it ends in June, just for the sake of conversation. Your bill, when you get that bill, it's going to be three, four months, nigga.
And again, this is the time for you to call and have the discussion. Am I able to break those 4 months down into, you know, a $200 extra payment or whatever the case might be?
Work it out.
This is the time, if you're at home, this is definitely time to get your pen and your pad. Start asking for people's employee numbers when you're on the phone, taking down notes, knowing what time you call, who you spoke to, asking for shit to be verified. If they communicate via email, which most of them will not, they will try to avoid putting anything.
Yeah, because they don't want to put nothing in writing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You have to take meticulous notes and be adamant about this shit, man. This is going to be very, very real. And again, about that homeowner's policy. Like, my nigga, the last thing you ever want is to be a homeowner and be out of work and have your policy lapse. Because if your fucking roof caves in, guess what the insurance company's going to tell you?
Good luck, my nigga.
Thanks for coming out. My blessed night.
Yeah. No, that's real information you have to take to heart. You know, like, get on that phone and yell representative and figure some things out. Because, like I said, I do see a lot of people online kind of being pretty cavalier about these next couple months, thinking basically I'm going to take the little $1,200 I get. I'm not going to pay a few bills. I'm going to stash this cash. And then when summer comes, it's lit.
I think the flippantness and the thing is, man, I think the flippantness is really fear. It's really a lot of people being shaken to their core and understanding just how delicate this ecosystem that we all operate in financially is delicate. And it's also a reminder of just how low you are down on the totem pole. Like, it's you know, I know, man, you thought you was doing it and you might have been doing it. You might have been doing well, man, but it's a reminder, you know, that even the people that make really good bread and have really good packages can look up one day and be let go. Okay. And if you didn't have, you know, if you were work for hire, if you were at will employee, okay, and you didn't have any cushion, you know, your ass is out here. Your ass is literally out here dangling right now.
Yeah. It's scary as shit. It's scary as hell. So God bless everybody, man. You know, like, it's somebody, I saw Chris Cuomo who tested positive for corona and quarantined himself in his basement. He's been doing online. Yeah, symptoms are very mild, but, you know, he's got a family, so he's being very cautious. And he's been doing, like, I don't know, the web chats. He's been talking to the camera and kind of posting stuff on Instagram and everything. And he said something really interesting.
Still doing his show from home.
Yeah, he's doing a show from home, yeah.
But
he said something really interesting. And even I'm going to go back kind of to the Puff thing. Puff and his son, they posted a couple of things about the haircuts and all that. But then Puff posted kind of something a little more serious. I guess it was yesterday. It was just him by himself. And it's like, what this thing has done is, and I don't know what the long-term changes will be, if any, but what this thing has done is, it's really, really leveled the playing field, because it don't matter if you got $800 million or if you are making $40,000. Like, it don't matter. You can get it. He can get it. Anybody, she can get it. Right. It don't matter. Like, again, like somebody like David Geffen took it to the extreme, jumped on his yacht and went to the middle of, I guess, the South Pacific. I don't know why he would post that. That's the part I don't get. Well, do what you do, B.
I know why he would. Because that is the reality for his peers. What he was doing was not
like Bill Gates and them.
What he was doing was not out of the ordinary for people in that bracket, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is the further and further away you get from continual contact with fucking regular people, it isolates you in such a way, man, that you cannot read the room. You can't read the room. It's like people, I think they was going to have, The View was supposed to have Kim Kardashian on about how she's dealing with, you know, being quarantined and all of that. And it's like, guys.
What are you talking about?
I mean, what are we really talking about here? Like, I would feel embarrassed for somebody to ask me how I'm dealing with that.
Yeah.
And I know my house ain't nothing but what one of their wings. Yeah. Right? Like, we ain't, like, so you know, in terms of, you know, like, when she hasn't gone to the fucking Target, my nigga. She don't go down. She don't know what a gallon of milk costs. And that's
she didn't have to fight over the 48 rolls of toilet paper.
That's and guess what, man? That is okay. She's earned that money. That's her, you know, that's her life. But, like, don't try to transition these folks into every people. Like, they're not questioning whether or not they're going to be able to literally have a place to live.
Literally.
You know what I'm saying?
And their bills being paid.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're asking kids to fucking do schoolwork under conditions that they don't know what might be happening.
Yeah.
You're talking about people dealing with food insecurity on a regular basis. Like, not knowing, you know, like, yo, dude, I found out from some, like, there are people that go to the pantry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
Absolutely.
On a regular basis. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that shit is supplementing people that are just hardworking people. They just
trying to make ends meet.
And so it's just, you know, to show up on your yacht, man, and like it's just
with a drone filming the yacht.
Are we sure that's even a drone? That might have been a helicopter from the other side.
Yeah, you're right. It might have been a helicopter. Not dead ass.
It's just not reading the room before a guy like that. His room are those people. Like, I can't imagine his daily contact is with somebody that makes less than $2 million a year.
Right.
That's light money to him. That's
you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, what are you talking about here?
Yeah, that's Trump change. Yeah, like you say, it's kind of like those type of guys, and it's interesting because those guy like him or Ralph Lauren or so, you know, Calvin Klein, some of these other guys, you know, they always use the thing of like, you know, I was born in Brooklyn and I was raised in the Bronx, and they were, but it's like you lived way more of your life like this than you lived in that little, you know, two bedroom apartment with six people in the Bronx back in the 40s.
Yeah,
like that almost didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? It's so foreign to like your life now. So yeah, but that was kind of wild. But you know, I just like I said, it's ugly. It's going to get uglier. It's going to be a lot of, you know, financial ruin. It's going to be a lot of divorces. It's going to be a lot of babies coming because niggas are sitting around having sex. It's going to be a lot of kind of like small, not I don't want to call it small things, but a lot of ancillary things that are going to become big things when this lifts.
Well, I could tell you two things really quickly. One, there's an article right now about how this is
divorce rates are going up.
Well, not just that. They're talking about how kids are going to be falling behind.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
And, dude, like, every SAT right now has been canceled. She was prepped for the March one. She's supposed to take the March and I think it was the April one. Mm-hmm. March and the June, whatever it was. All that shit, I'm sorry, March and May.
Okay.
They're canceled, dude. Done. So I don't know what that's going to mean for her. You know, like, what does that mean? She got to take it in the summertime now. I'm still dealing with tutoring prep because it's like, I don't know when they're going to say,
yeah, you might get a call or an email saying
whatever the case might be. So there is an uncertainty that those kids are having, the uncertainty that seniors are having to deal with right now. You know,
no graduations,
no proms, shit.
No proms.
College even going to be open?
I was about to say that next. I don't know if kids are going to school in August to college. Like, even if you got accepted, you know, God bless.
No,
like,
idea what
we don't know if schools. We don't know what's going to be open. If loans are going to be available for the kids who need them. There's all these. There's so many. Layers isn't even right. I don't know if that's even a strong enough term for all the things we that just this really, is affecting.
The ripples and the impact, we really don't know what the reach is going to be yet. Somebody from my church was hitting me because we had to postpone our cotillion, which was supposed to be in May.
Of course.
And we postponed it till 2021, but she was like, we need to start talking about recruitment. And I was like, how? How can we talk about recruitment? We have no idea what the fall is going to look like. These kids may not go back to school. We don't know what next year means. Financial situations are going to change. Churches aren't even open for me to reach out to other churches about members being part. Like, how? How are we going to have that conversation? Like, one of the people in my ministry has COVID. Like, how? We can't even have a discussion, you know? So I'm like, I can't want to.
How many barbershops and beauty salons are not going to reopen? Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
Done. How many restaurants? How many soul food restaurants?
That's the thing that really breaks my heart. We're going to lose so many.
Small black mom and pop businesses.
Oh my
exactly.
God. You're going to lose so many.
You're going to be gone. Because whenever God bless this thing lifts up, it's going to be like, yo, so-and-so never opened. Or, you know, my barber, he ain't there no more. Like, all these little kind of things that, you know, we take for granted. You know, just the nail salons. You know, and I understand these are small problems to have in the bigger picture. But again, once this kind of dark cloud lifts, it's going to be almost like when you lift the rock and there's all the bugs underneath. It's going to be like, holy shit. Like, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about this effect, how this is affected. Like, the car washes is going to be gone. Like, who, you know, that's all these kind of these businesses are finished. They're fucking finished. Like, you know, I don't know, man. This is.
So I will say, if you have a local spot that right now is open for takeout and you can afford to, because not all of us can afford to be doing takeout right now. If you can support them with takeout where you can, because, you know, takeout business on a good day, being open for only takeout would drastically decrease your business because you don't get the upsells like the alcohol and the add-on and all that stuff. But right now, when most people, a lot of people who are staying in aren't even considering takeout.
No, they're just going to the supermarket and eat.
Yeah, they're automatically of the mind of, like, I need to cook my own food. So if you do have a local spot that you fuck with and takeout is an option for you, support them while you can.
At least maybe,
or buy a gift to
maybe once a week or something. Like, not trying to dig in anybody's pocket, not anything like that. Oh, and this is the other thing before we wrap up. Let's please, and this is not really reciprocal, which is kind of like, but I'm going to say it anyway. Let's please chill on the Chinese bashing and, like, beating up Asian people on the street and not going to Chinese food restaurants. And I know it's not reciprocal. I know they don't do it back to us. What you say?
Are black people doing that? I feel like it's the racist white.
Well, no, I'm not saying black people. I'm just saying people in general. I'm not making it specific to us. I'm just saying. But I don't think, well, in the hood, the Chinese food spot is probably still popping, I guess. But, you know, but I don't know. Like, if it's not, like, let's not do that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
also, at this point, America is the epicenter of this shit, so...
Yeah, you know, the Chinese don't want us to fly over there.
When we go other places, so...
Yeah, Mexicans is like, we don't want y'all niggas over here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. Oh, bro, I wanted to mention one more thing before we go, because I know you've been keeping an eye on this, which is the airlines. So I saw a stat today that there's, on average, for the month of, I guess, of March, there's an average of 2.3 million people who fly. And this last month, 154,000 flew.
Wow.
Which means, you know, there were planes. I've seen pictures online. Planes with two people on them, like basically empty. But I know you mentioned some things online about the bailouts and how, you know. So what did you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, the bailouts are basically, I don't have any sympathy for the airlines. For years, for those of us who have been flying for a very long time, we knew what air travel was just, say, you know, 20 years ago, right? You know, you bought a coach ticket. There was some level of room in that seat. You didn't feel completely jammed in, you know, movies or whatever. You know, well, back then you didn't have a personal device. You would get a movie screen. Watch whatever it was. You know, you'd get a meal. Usually like a hot meal, like a legitimate meal. All of that shit. And, you know, you're bad.
But like a two-hour flight.
Yeah. Yeah. You're bad free, all of that shit. And we've always talked about how they've just nickel and dimed us post 9/11. You know, after that, it has just been, you know, utterly ridiculous with the fees. And now with the internet, like even with the algorithms, right? Like how they, you know, take the search engine and use that as a basis of how they, you know, charge you for flights. Yes. Which is why you would see those spikes when people mm-hmm. were searching certain routes. They collected something like $4.5 billion in baggage fees.
Really?
Fam.
That's insane.
In baggage fees?
I think it was 20, it was either 2018. I think it was the last like full study. All of the airlines. And really we're talking about four majors and, you know, a few other ones. $4.5 billion with a fucking B dollars
wow.
in baggage fees. That is ultimately found money. They have
free cash.
Nothing. They have done nothing to add to the infrastructure in order to get that cash, right? The people that handled your bags were always going to be there, right?
Yeah.
The cargo space was always going
to be there. The sky caps, everybody.
All that shit was going to be there. So it's basically found money. And what they did was they used it to do stock buybacks and things like that. So what they did was they didn't have a lot of cash reserves. And that's what people were complaining about. They were like, how the fuck y'all going to tell us we got to have 3 to 6 months of savings in case of an emergency? And y'all didn't even have a month worth of operating.
You only had 3 weeks.
Right.
Worth of operating costs. Like, what the shit is that?
The Cheesecake Factory said, like, after a week, them bitches put out a statement, we not paying rent on none of
these. And here's the kicker. Like, what the airlines and what Cheesecake Factory have is that they have a certain amount of leverage, right? Because we know that no one is taking a fucking 3-day Amtrak train to go to LA, right?
Yeah.
So we know that airline travel is the mode of operation. They know that.
It's the way to get there. Yeah.
There is no way for this country to operate, you know, not just the commercial space, but also for passengers. I'm sorry, not for passenger space, but also for commercial airlines. Like, how the fuck do you think you get your packages overnight? Okay.
Your FedExes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, I mean, the Cheesecake Factory is also one of those places that has a lot, because first of all, Cheesecake Factories, if they're not standalone, they're anchors in malls.
Right.
Absolutely.
And guess what you can't easily do? You can't easily tell Cheesecake Factory to pack their shit up and move. It's not
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Massive. Because they're huge places. Exactly.
They put crazy square footage. They put massive amounts of money into that place, and mm-hmm. they're basically pulling the fucking Debo move. You know?
Yeah.
What you gonna do? You gonna put me out?
You gonna get it when I? You gonna get it when I give it to you?
Get it when I give it to you. I put a little something on it. Okay, I got $75. I'm gonna take the $75. Sign my receipt with the receipt book.
Exactly. Okay. With the date.
Yeah. Make sure you put the year, because you put 20, they can mess with the date.
Right.
Word. Oh shit.
So that's really, that's really ultimately what's happening, is that those are places that have leverage. You know, there are going to be certain tenants that are going to have some leverage. If you live in a brownstone and it's owner occupied, and you know, Miss Mary got her main level in the basement, and you got an upstairs apartment, Miss Mary's probably going to fucking work with you, because Miss Mary don't want to have another person in her space.
Yeah, right, exactly.
If you've been on time, if you've been, you know, Miss Mary probably not gonna bust your balls. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know,
after you bring up, probably go, you get her stuff in the store when you go out.
Exactly. Make sure she got some chicken. You know, bring up a pack of chicken and some Carolina rice. You know, the whole white people love Carolina rice.
Don't give me that Uncle Ben's. I don't like that.
It don't. So yeah, I mean, that's really what's happening, man. You know, and I think a lot more people are gonna have a lot more leverage in some places than others. But you know, if you dealing with a slumlord who don't have no problem with padlocking your shit, I suggest you be conscious of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Also be conscious of where you live. Like, I see people saying that their landlord sent notices, like, reminder, rent is still due on April 1st. My landlords ain't even sent that shit, because they know trying to evict anybody in New York right now is...
This is not happening.
It's not easy. It's not easy normally.
It's definitely not easy
right now, right? But, like, I'm not going to play with their money, but at the same time, I'm also like, where are y'all gonna find new tenants right now? Again, I know that I gotta pay them.
Of course, yeah. But ain't nobody waiting to move right now.
Right, but what I'm not anxious about right now, like honestly, for me, my most important bill is making sure my insurance is up to date. Rent is like, if I run out of money, the rent gotta wait. Like that's really how I feel right now because I'm like, hey, y'all can't kick me out right now. Like it's not gonna happen. It's just not. Yeah. It's impossible. So
I just imagine now, like the lady with the cigarette. Well, you know that's how I am anyway.
That's how I am anyway.
I was gonna do that anyway because that's how I am.
With a house coat on. So we're gonna wrap it up on that note. We're gonna keep giving these shows. I hope they're helping y'all, you know, pass the time and keep some level of.
Yeah, they're helping me.
Yeah, exactly. Some type of level of sanity in your lives because we know, like Sean said, in the house with them kids, even if you got a nice sized house, it can become a little bit much sometimes.
Yes,
all
Lord.
Day, every day.
And
yeah,
I'm praying for parents with small kids. Ooh, I'm praying for you. I am praying.
Keeping them busy all day?
For y'all. That age where they is mommy, or what is, could you, can we, why can't, what, like, that age where you can't just tell them to go off someplace and play?
The why come age.
Yeah, why come.
The why come age.
That's what my cousin LaVon, she says that I should always say that to her. But why, LaVon? But why? She still teases me about that to this day. So God bless y'all who got the but why kids.
Word.
And we're gonna wrap it up on that note. Again, you know, just, you know, blessings and love and prayers to everybody. Who's, you know, we're all in the same gang, as Peace Easy E. And you know, just stay safe out there and self quarantine and just keep, you know, take it seriously because it's obviously not a game. Mm-hmm. You know, they build hospitals in Central Park. It's not a game. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up and we'll speak to y'all sometime next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.